BeastNet is brought to you by James Safety Services and in partnership with Beast OCR. Here we discuss all things OCR and fitness related, running, endurance, conditioning, rucking, and more. Welcome to BeastNet.
Hey everybody, it's Mike with BeastNet here, and on this episode I have with me Claire Painter. Claire, introduce yourself a little bit and kind of tell everyone who you are and what you've got.
So I'll start where it kind of all started. There's a little race here in our local community of Omak, Washington in Okanagan County, largest county in Washington State with the smallest population. It was a race that was set up at the Warrior Dash, and we have a rodeo here that's actually next weekend where people from rodeo stock come from all over. But the one thing that we're really famous for is the world famous suicide race, which is the Indian culture here runs horses off the hill, and the hill is super steep, goes straight down to the river. They splash into the river and they cross the river and run up to the rodeo grounds, and they do it each night of the rodeo, and the points all add up to a winner. So the human being wants that same bucket list kind of journey. We supply that in the Omak Warrior Stampede. So that's kind of our signature thing, is like, where else are you going to wade across a river, climb up a really steep hill, and go to the top, do some functional stuff up there at the top, and then turn around and then just have the ability to just fly off the hill if you want. We have some people that really get some air and have a good time. And so there's footage on our Facebook page from last year, the kids that were launching themselves off the top of the hill. So we just have a permission to play on the hill, and then it all goes down in Eastside Park, which is one of the coolest features in Omak, and I think probably a really underutilized feature. But there's it's a huge park, and it's right along the river, and rodeo grounds are there, and there's like a skate park and swimming pool, and so we just meander through the Eastside Park for the course. So it's completely off the road, but you know, it's a park.
Yeah. And so do you have other type of things besides just playing on the hill? I mean, when you're meandering through the park, I mean, do you have obstacles? I mean, I think I saw the video. Wasn't there a few other things that you guys did?
Yeah. So I took it over last year. I had like 2 months to get it turned over to Claire and get the ball rolling, get people inspired to not let it waste away. Cause this is where I started this is the first Warrior/obstacle course that I did. So it's progressed. I'm a functional fitness person. So we pick up rocks and throw them over our shoulder. We roll big, huge round bales. You climb over a pyramid of big, huge square bales. You crawl through tunnels, have a wheelbarrow obstacle. So what I've done is I want to feature what we do here in the county. It's ranching and fruit. Mm-hmm. There's fruit at the finish line for sure from one of the local producers here. There's a obstacle or two, but you know, like we start out by running bleachers. So it's kind of a cross between a stadium kind of thing. I'm really into watching the CrossFit games. A couple years back, they were doing I was watching the team division, and they were all running bleachers as part of it. So there's a quarter mile of bleachers at the beginning. up and down. Oh, it's really cool. Jeez. The sound is just amazing. So we fry your legs right out of the hole, and then send you on about a 4.5 to 5 mile jaunt around the park and cross the river, roll some round bales, carry some heavy I'm going to try and get a hoist in this year, but I'm got to convince them to let me hang that from one of the ceilings of one of the buildings. But yeah, no, it's progressing and it'll change every year. We just need more people to come over and have fun with us. So I've got it briefed over lunch. And I'm trying to get, you know, our local taco wagon and maybe a barbecue place to eat, you know, feed you. So I want people to come out and enjoy the park from 10 to 2 on September 14th.
Nice. So it's September 14th.
September 14th.
Is that what you said?
10 a.m. Eastside Park, Omak, Washington.
Nice. So What you said this was kind of what got you into it. What made you decide to do this?
Originally?
Yeah.
So, want to do an OCR race?
Well, both. I mean, wanting to do an OCR race and then wanting to run. I mean, manage an OCR race.
Oh, yeah, to be a director. Gotcha. Race director. So,
yeah.
So 3 years ago, actually it was four winters ago in 2015, I was called by a TV producer to do a reality TV show. And I don't own a TV, so I'm taking you down the journey of American Grit. So I went there as a wild card because I was a fisherman. Everybody else was supposed to be athletes. And I was like, well, you know, I dabble in fitness, but I don't, you know, I wouldn't consider myself an athlete. So there was 16 of us, and we went to Eatonville, Washington in November and December of 2015 and filmed 10 episodes of basically obstacle course racing through a packed forest down there in Eatonville, and camped on site, some plywood building they built for us, and John Cena was the host, and there was four teams, four military advisors. Each team has their own advisor who doesn't run the obstacles with you, but is there to, like, you know, cheer you on, give you advice, make some suggestions, and just be your support system. And we were there for like almost 2 months. And what ended up happening, we pared each other down, and I was one of the two last people standing. So me and my other team member, Mark Boquin, were the last two to hang on at the end. And so the guy that used to have the Warrior Stampede approached me and said, hey, you know, like, you know, you want this or it's going to just die where it stands. So we've been struggling, having a lot of fires over here in Eastern Washington. So battling the smoke, it's actually a month later than it traditionally is, because the last 4 or 5 years, we've just been smacked with smoke. And we still ran it last year, but I put an email out to all the people that were participating. There was only like 90 of us that did it last year, and said, you know, what do you think? Should we cancel it and I'll try and figure out how to refund money, or you know, like, should we just do it? And everybody said, just do it. I only had one person that pulled out because of the smoke. And we did it anyways, had a great time. People were like, oh, God, I was hacking for days. So I'm hoping that September will be a better month. But it wasn't going anywhere fast. So I just took a little bit of my money that I won and purchased the rights to it and a few obstacles that came with it, and sort of I'm going to make it my own. So that's where, you know, there's definitely a strength component to it. So that was the one thing that everyone was like, whoa, like a lot of pick heavy shit up. So after the fire, I ended up with a bunch of telephone butts. Telephone pole bottoms, you know, so we flipped some big fence posts. Everything's designed so there's sizes of everything. I'm not saying that everyone has to pick up an 80-pound rock, but there's 15-pound bowling balls that you can pick up and throw over your shoulder. So there's something for everyone. And it's all about go outside, run around, be a kid in an adult body, have fun.
Like what you hear? Make sure and subscribe and review us on your favorite podcast platform. Be sure to find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you're using YouTube, please click the little red subscribe icon, then click the little bell for notifications of future episodes. And if you could, give us a thumbs up.
I don't have enough volunteers to do a kids only. We did, it has had a kids only in the past, and if I can build this up and get a team behind me and get help, I could do that. So what I've done is... for anybody that's interested in doing it with their kid, it has one adult, one child, and you just you sign up as a warrior, and then there's another category to sign up for an add-on for your child. It's $10. So, and that doesn't start till noon. So my thought was that anyone that's a little bit more hardcore than the next person, they can come and run it as a warrior and compete in the morning for their own time, and then go back and you know, get a bite to eat, refuel, and grab their kid, and then they have the choice to do the whole course or do whatever, you know, part of the course they want to escort their child through. So basically, is if you want to take your child across the river, that's completely up to you. That is why you have to be a parent-child thing. So, and you sign a waiver to do that. And we have lifeguards at the river. So, and it should be pretty low. It won't be any lower, you know, because like I go and swim in the river in one place, you know, and I can stand up at any time. Some years it's a little higher, but this year we're pretty lean on water, so it's not really high. And September will be as low as it's going to get before it maybe will rain again sometime.
Yeah. Maybe.
That's
what a lot of people.
So warm.
Yeah. And see, a lot of people don't realize because most people, they think of Washington and they think of my side, the west side, because I'm right. Well, you're talking Eatonville. I'm about 8 miles away from Eatonville, where I live in Puyallup.
Right, you're in the swamp.
So, so we're in, you know, it's wet and it's nasty over here all the time. But they don't realize that you go to the east of the mountains and you guys are completely opposite. You guys are desert and, you know, in the summer and cold in the winter. So it's like you guys have seasons. We don't. We're always the same.
Right. I grew up over there. And then I hadn't been there in like, I don't know, 20 or 30 years. And I went over there to do a battle frog with a group of ladies right after I'd been at the Grit. And everyone was like, I want to do that. So I, you know, there was like six of us and we went over there and did the last battle frog right before they canceled them all. And had a great time. But I was like, I didn't even recognize where I was going. And I used to pick strawberries at Remlinger Farms, you know, and that's where it was. And I was like, everything was so green and overgrown. I was just like, oh my God, I'm getting used to being over here on the dry side where it's super sparse.
You know, it's very green over here and it's completely opposite on the other side of the mountain. So what's funny on the battle frog is that's the one of the races I never got to do because I broke my foot a week before and my son did the race in my place and that's, and then they closed right after. So
I
never got to do that one.
I like my medals. It's a big one. It's really awkward and it pokes you when you walk. But it didn't look like they changed their medals enough, you know? And I was like, I don't want a bunch of pokey frogs, right?
Yep.
No, so when I was on the Grit, there was a couple gals that were obstacle course racers and they, you know, they had a house reality spat over like, I'm better than you are. And, you know, it was hilarious. And I just sat back and watched all the house reality, didn't really get involved because that's not where I'm at. But, and I was like, so if these girls are, you know, like if they're OCR racers and they consider themselves competitive, like I need to go do a Spartan race. So, I did. And that October, so it was after they'd aired it and I'd done the Battle Frog. And then that October I did the Spartan in Seattle. And I had no idea. My sister dropped me off and I was like, I don't know, 3 hours, I guess, maybe four. I have no idea. So she went for a bike ride and I ran it and then I did it in 3 hours. And some lady looking over my shoulder was like, hey, is that your time? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, that's really good. And I'm like, really? That's awesome. You know? So, I got hooked. I was covered with weed seeds. And so I'm going to actually, it'll be the first time for me to be back in Seattle for the Beast in the fall. So I'm going to do the Beast, and then I have a sprint that I need to use. So I'm going to do a sprint the next day. So that's the...
I'll be there with you doing it.
Yeah, that's the weekend before. So then I'll go run home to OMAC and start getting all my ducks in line. And, we have a slip and slide, too. So I have to build that first, too. So get it all ready to go, because that's kind of fun. Maybe rinse off some of the sand from the river. But, So I'll see you. I'll get to meet you in Seattle.
I'll be at the Seattle race. I do Seattle almost every year. Actually, Seattle will be me finishing trifecta number two for the year for Spartan.
Oh, good for you.
Because I'm actually...
Yeah, I have to...
Next Monday, the 12th, I'm leaving for Hawaii to go do a full trifecta in a weekend in Hawaii. I'm going to do all three races.
I've heard about people like you. I've seen people like you, like a little bit crazy. This is what crazy looks like.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's one of those things too. I mean, I'm not a small guy. I'm not a great athlete. I'm a bigger guy. So sometimes people are really shocked. They're like, "You did what?" And I'm like, "Whatever. I'm a big guy. It takes me a little longer, but I finish." So
you're a Clydesdale.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I like that. I'm a Clydesdale. I like that. Yeah.
Maybe the women are Clydesdale and the guys are Shires. I don't know, but they're big horses and they get the job done. Your body doesn't know it's not supposed to be that size.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so you said it's September 14th, so it's the weekend after the Spartan races. What is the cost for entry into the race?
To be a warrior, it's $65, and to add your child, it's $10 more, and then. They've got the little bells and whistles that every, you know, registration platform adds on, but I don't think it's much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, I'm excited. I need to generate some people. I got 4 people signed up, but this town is super famous for waiting to the last minute to do everything. So I'm really going to start, you know, browbeating people at this point. Like, hey, you're like, I really want to get this guy to design me some t-shirts, but you know, like, hey, come on, get on it. Sign up. Like, so I do fitness here in the community. So, I have a lot of people that they're like, oh, I don't want to do it. And I'm like, well, if you work out with me, like, that's what I'm training for. All it's like, what are you training for? I'm like, oh, I train, I do stuff. I've been doing the Yancey Camp Elevation Challenge, which is actually, really a good idea. It's hard to commit because it catches up to you. You're like, oh shit, I took the weekend off. And you're like, oh God, you know, but, I'm still in it. And, I try and get my 1,000 feet in, as many days of the month as possible. And if I miss it, I'll, you know, get 2,000 or 3,000 in to try and keep me, treading water. But, it builds strength fast. It forces you to run properly. It's been a great journey. Maybe I'll just keep this tradition up. Hills are good. Really good to build up those Clydesdale muscles, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. You gotta get the right muscles. So the one thing I like, and I really actually enjoy, look forward to on your race is the fact that you say you use a lot of what's there. I love that. I mean, you use rocks, you use what, you know, you use what nature gave us. So, and that's one thing I've tried really hard.
So I'm going to challenge you to my rock. I got one I have not got a confirmed weight on it, but it's about 100 pounds and it's perfectly round and it will be patiently waiting towards the finish line for anyone that's willing to pick it up. There's 3 or 4 big rocks, and they range between probably 60 pounds and 100 pounds is probably the most. And then there's lesser stuff. You know, by the time it's put on my shoulders, like, but there's some cute videos on the Facebook page of people like picking their rock. But yeah, so I don't want to have to build a bunch of obstacles. There's some local businesses that let me borrow equipment, you know? So, I borrow wheelbarrows, I wash them off and I return them, you know? And, you know, Les Schwab comes and builds a big mountain of tires. I kind of call on the community to be a sponsor and build an obstacle. That's your sponsorship. You know, like, I'm all about advertising for you. And if you come and you're responsible and you tell me you're going to be there Friday morning at 10 to set that thing up, boom, that's the best way. And then, so that's kind of how I have it set up. I do have a lot of stuff that I do myself, but I'm going to try and get more, businesses from town that want to advertise who they are. And, you know, this is your obstacle. Decorate this area. Make us want to stop by wherever you are. And Les Schwab's been a rock for years. And T3 Ranch has got the big, huge 1,000-pound square bales, and he builds a big pyramid. And it's funny because that's actually harder than it looks, you know, because it's like hay and it's scratchy and you like don't want to get anywhere near it. But you just have to commit, you know? So
just commit and do it.
Yep, that's it. Commit and do it. What did I write down here? Like, get done. Like, go out there and just move.
Yeah. That's what you got to do.
Oh. Yeah.
So, how have you, well, since you've taken over, how do you enjoy it? I mean, how much is it? It sounds like you get a lot of help from the community, which is amazing, but what?
I wouldn't go like overboard on the a lot help. I have some rock solid people that won't let me down, but, you know, volunteers. So it's not like running a running race. Running race, you just need water tables and you need finish line people.
Yeah.
And the rest of it kind of takes care of itself. Well, obstacle, you know, like you have tons of setup, tear down. So I'm always looking for volunteers for sure. I have to figure out if I can like do what I talked with the kids, the lifeguards about is like, two of you volunteer, one works the first 2 hours, the other works the other 2 hours, and then you run the race, you know? So,
yeah.
That's all in the works and coming, it's tough. Volunteers, just like Spartan, trying to get volunteers, you know, and trade you for a race in the future is where you kind of got to be at, because that's the only way you're going to get commitment to know that your volunteers are going to be there. And, you know, it's small enough that I don't, you know, have to have 50 million of everything. There's like, you know, three or four choices, unless it's rocks or fence posts, you know, and so if someone else is on it, you know, like I've waited in long lines at Tough Mudders before. They were like, really, are we really going to stand here and get our heartbeat down and wait to jump over this log? And these people in front of me are struggling so hard. I just want to give them a leg up, but they want to do it by themselves. Okay. Don't touch them. Okay. You got this. It's a small town. So there's like, literally we had 90 people on the course and, you know, I spent 2-3 days, you know, just down there hanging out. I was good thing I have my own insurance. I was setting up the balance beam, and this is the irony of the whole thing. I was setting up the balance beam and I smashed my leg last year. So, you know, people banded together and helped me out, break everything down, because I was up pretty gimpy by the time. But Thursday before the race was on Saturday, and I'm limping. I'm like, what happened? So I don't plan on hurting myself setting it up. I know how I'm setting the balance beam up. It's no big deal. So, but yeah, I'm trying to get some fire hose. So you got some heavy fire hose drags that'll be filled with some sand, and, you know, try and be creative. Use what is available.
Do you like tacos?
Yes!
Do you like having fun?
Yes!
Do you like to have tacos while having fun?
Yes!
Can you walk or run a mile?
Yes!
Good news! Beast's OCR annual Taco Mile is back and happening now through the month of August. It's a virtual challenge that you can do anywhere. All you need is a place to safely walk or run and 4 tacos. Add in some friends and you have yourself an excellent, super fun time. For more information, head on over to beastchallenge.com and the Beast OCR Facebook group. That's beastschallenge.com.
Beast OCR! Taco Mile! Sign up today!
Does your business need first aid, AED, OSHA, flagging, or other safety training? James Safety Services is your one-stop shop. Find them on Facebook today at James Safety Services WA and ask for a quote on hosting your training needs.
Yeah, so.
Well, I hung up and I tried to call back, but yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, it went all weird.
So that always happens
to me
when I'm talking to my sister. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, you know, I was looking at my website, and I should probably talk about the as many rounds as possible category.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So let me talk about the categories. Break it down to bare bones.
There we go.
So when you go to the website, register, you can go to event categories, boom, explains everything. I went through and I tried to word it so that it's like, I dumped it up so like it gives you instructions. So no matter what you're doing, unless you're doing as many rounds as possible, you sign up as a warrior. That gets you in. That gets you to utilize the course. Then, if you want to add a team, it will ask you if you want to make a team. So the first person makes a team, then everybody that follows in joins that team when they ask you if you want to be a part of a team. That's pretty standard for registration. Then if you want to run it with your child, there's a spot where you click to the tent. Well, underneath that, if you go down below that, there's as many rounds as possible, AMRAP. So the course is open from 10 until 1. And you can do the course as many times as you possibly can squeeze in, but it has to be the time of your last completed round. So last year, people got 3 rounds in a 3-hour window. So, and there was like 20 minutes or something. And, you know, like, so if you could do it, if you were a friggin' beast, you could get a 4th one in there. So, so it's the fastest time to complete the most amount of rounds. Last year everyone got a water pack. So there's a nice, because there was like 3 or 4 people that did it. I'm like, well, guess what? Everyone's a winner. you have overall king and queen of the hill. And then last year I had a team category for that, but I don't think I will, because I think most of the people that are doing a team are more interested in just doing a team. So it's just a single competitor, as many rounds as you can under your own power. Go get them. The 2 guys that did it last year, and then 1 guy, and then a team, a guy and a girl did it. And I was really proud of them, because it was smoky, and, you know, and they just, here they come. You know, pushing the wheelbarrow and then back into the bleachers again. And, you know, there was a culvert sections like they used to do you in the Bavarian battle. And I hated them then. So I decided to string 3 of them together just so you could all hate them. And by the time it was over, Melanie had figured out how to lay on her back and push through the tunnels with her feet. So, get creative. But I'm a Atlas glove wearer, and so I don't know if you know what Atlas nitrile gloves are, but I highly recommend a pair of those for the course, so that when you pick up the rock,
I'll have to look this up.
Flipping the logs and stuff like that, you don't get splinters in your hand. And I usually, you know, jog bras are great because my gloves go in my jog bra when I'm not using them, but I don't know what you dudes do. I don't want to know where you put them, but hey.
You don't want to know.
So, and then, you know, knee pads, but I'm not sure I can get the culverts again. So I'm sure that will really disappoint all the people that struggled with them last year. Like, this sucks. It was 60 feet of culvert in one fell swoop. They're hard on the knees.
That does sound horrible.
It is. Bavarian Valley used to be in Leavenworth there at the little ski hill, the cross-country ski hill that they have. And they had these sections, but they were only like a 20-foot section throughout the thing. And I was like, oh yeah, I hate those things, man. You hit them and you try and slide through there and your knees are all bruised, but they don't do that one anymore. So, and actually there used to be one in Mackey, a little, cross sport, and they do that at, the park down there by the Toyo Center. That was super cute, but that one's gone too. So the Warrior Stampede was a part of a trifecta, and like if you did all 3, and there was only me and one other guy that did all 3 of those 1 year, and that was the last year. Those other 2 were events. So, but yeah, it was our Eastern Washington, you know, mud run trifecta.
Yeah, and I mean that's one of the things, you know, like I was saying, you know, before, one of the reasons, you know, why we reached out to you is we're seeing too many of those little, you know, mud runs pop up and then disappear. You know, and we want to help promote you guys, the smaller ones, and get more of those to happen. I mean, I like I said, I love the idea of yours of using what's in nature. I mean, it's, you know, I've heard so many times people like, oh, I don't have anything to work out with. I'm like, there's rocks and logs in your front yard, dude. Go pick them up.
Oh, yeah. So I have a place called Barefoot Ranch. I have horses, and that's kind of my main way of making money, as I do restorative self-care. And so, but I'm slowly setting stuff up here so that eventually someday this will be a place you can come camp, and, or if you're passing through town, you want to bring your family here and run around on the hills and do some obstacles. That's my dream, you know? And so I kind of feel like the Warrior races, if I do generate some funds, because last year I put on a really expensive party for myself for my 50th birthday and called it the Warrior Stampede. But anyways, I'm hoping that it will generate its own money so that I can, you know, permanently build some obstacles here on the property. I want to do a frisbee golf course too, so that you can, because it's all about
cool.
How do I get exercise without really thinking that I'm getting exercise? So frisbee golf, we played it out in the sheep field at Christmas time with my family, and I was like, okay, I'm totally into this, because now we're walking, you know, hell and high water over here and over there, and you gotta, you know, bend down and pick up your frisbee, and like, hey, we just got exercise and had fun at the park. Oh, what a cool concept!
And I think. I know, and I think that's what's missing a lot is, I mean, you think about it, you know, back when we were younger, we didn't have video, you know, I mean, Atari and Nintendo were just coming out when I was younger. We didn't have that where you had video games. We went out, you know, especially during the summer, I was home for dinner. That was pretty much the rules. Like, you know, when the streetlights start coming on, you need to be home. You know, so I was out on my bike. I was out playing baseball in the field. I was, you know, doing all sorts of crazy stuff. And nowadays, it's like we're so into this technology that it seems like it's a hassle to get up and do any exercise. And it's like, you know, I graduated high school 140 pounds because I was always doing something, you know. And now it just, you know, everyone, it's like, oh, wait, you want me to go do exercise? It's like, that's what we called fun.
Yeah.
You know?
When I was a kid, I had activity-induced asthma, so I was heavy and didn't, and they, I think I was in eighth grade when they put me on some medicine. So then I started playing tennis and started lifting weights in high school. And so I always wanted to run and play like the other kids, but every time I ran, I couldn't friggin' breathe. And so I've tightened up my diet, and I don't have asthma anymore, and you know, like I figured out what my triggers were, and I try and eat really clean, and I friggin' don't even know how old I am. You know, like as far as I'm concerned, I'm the same age as the kids that come to school. And they look at me and are like, well, you're older than my mom. I'm like, not really. I mean, because I was never a mom, so I don't have a timeline. So, hey. Or they say, you're an adult. You understand. I'm like, oh, God, did you just call me an adult? That's harsh.
Yeah.
Harsh.
Yeah, that's harsh.
Evil. I'm not adulting. No, I'm not. I could be a mentor better than an adult. Or someone called me ma'am. I was like, you can't be talking to me. Nobody calls people ma'am anymore. Am I really that old that you're going to call me ma'am? No, I'm not. Denial.
No.
Benjamin Button, here I come.
There you go. All right, on. So... so your dream is to pretty much make it so this is just, you have your little ranch. What was the ranch called again?
Barefoot Ranch.
Barefoot. See, that sounds amazing to me because I'm one of those people, if I could get away with it, I would be barefoot every day. So I would rather walk around with no shoes on and, yeah.
I run in five fingers, and people look at me when I show up at an obstacle race and they're like, you're going to run in those? And I look at their shoes and go, you're going to run in those? Like, how can you feel where you're putting your feet? Like, I know exactly where I'm putting my foot down. And if I'm putting my foot down and something's underneath it, your body knows how to give so that you don't put all your weight on it. So I just, I drive around the county doing hoof care for horses. So I listen to books on tape, and someone gave me Born to Run a long time ago by Christopher Madule, but I'm a really slow reader. So I got it on Audible, and I actually am starting it for the second time because it's such a great story with so much really valuable information on how to build strength to run and why there's so many people that are suffering from running injuries. Because it's all about learning how to run barefoot because now you can't run incorrectly. Your body just doesn't let you. Your running cadence and form changes depending on what kind of shoes you put on your feet. So I've been doing barefoot running for probably 7 years now. And I transitioned to barefoot when I did my second high ankle sprain. I was like, I'm done with shoes. Forget that.
Yeah.
Roll my ankle when I'm in, you know, who wants to land on a big piece of foam? There's no stability in it. You can't, your proprioceptors can't talk to your brain about what's going on. You just landed wrong. Like, oh, there goes my ankle. Boy, I didn't need that right now. Yeah, I was in a walking cast for, and you know, like, kind of inoperable for almost 3 months before I could start doing stuff again. And, you know, it sucked. But now I'm happy to see I'm pretty injury free. I take care of my body, do a lot of mobility and stuff, but yeah.
Yeah. Cause see, I've thought about the five fingers. My biggest problem is what, three years ago, it's about 3 years ago now, I broke my left foot. And I mean, I broke it good. I had a ladder come down and basically guillotined my foot. So it broke all the way across all, you know, I broke all five metatarsals. And my problem now is if I don't have my foot, isn't the way it's supposed to be anymore. It healed,
but it's
not healed what it used to be. So it's like, if I don't have some kind of arch support, I get horrible pain in my foot because it's, my foot's flat. It's flatter than it used to be. Like I had to go a size, my left foot is now like almost a size bigger than my right because of all the damage.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So, and that's where my problem is, trying to find the right shoe for that.
Oh yeah. No, there's more bones in your foot than anywhere else. The feet. So yeah. So in the days of torture, they used to smack people in their feet because you have so many proprioceptors on the bottom of your feet that your feet, your face, and your hands are like three most sensitive places. On, you know, like you can inflict some serious pain on them, and your feet are your foundation. And so as soon as your foundation is a little messed up and you can't just go in there and rebuild the corner, but you can rebuild muscles in your feet to help. Yeah. But yeah, it's stabilizing. Yeah. No, I'm well aware of the leg that I've done two high ankle sprains on, for sure. I have to do extra stuff on that side. Keeping that, my range of motion is not as good over there. And, you know, and these people that have plates in them, you just have to, you know, now you're an adaptive athlete.
Yeah. And it's one of those things. I mean, it's as you get older, you start, your body doesn't forget that stuff that you did when you were younger. You know, I've had two bum knees. I've damaged both my knees and all that stuff over the years. And now that I'm in my 40s, it's like my knees remind me of, you know, the damage I did years ago.
Do you remember back when you thought you were invincible?
Yeah,
tapping you on the shoulder. Yeah, no, every injury you've ever had, well, you'll be aware of it again someday. I try and instill that in kids, but you know, like you don't have that whole preservation until you get older. You know, innate one that you can't.
No.
Like, no, I'm full ahead. Boys are worse than girls, but you know, girls can be pretty humble.
Oh, they can be. They can be. Yeah. See, me, it was one of those, like my, you know, like my left foot. Now I always just laugh at those people when they talk about, you know, oh, I know when it's going to rain because my knees will ache. Well, that's my left foot. My left foot, I'll know. It'll be like, oh, it's going to rain in about an hour. Everyone's like, why? I'm like, my foot's aching. I know it's going to rain. You know, and it's crazy.
So that's your barometer.
Yep.
My left foot. That's actually your sigil. Your sigil of your house should be your name, my left foot.
My left foot.
Yeah, there's a logo there somewhere, I'm sure.
There has to be. Oh. So, on the race, so like you said, it's the 14th and it's $65 plus, you know, the charge, stuff like that. So, is there anywhere over there like that you would recommend if people were coming over to camp or like hotels like that? Because most of us coming from this side, you know, we're not going to want to just drive over and drive back. So where would you suggest people stay?
There is a campground in the park. And then there is a campground at the fairgrounds, which is just down the road. And as far as camping in town, you know, like close, those are the two big ones. But Best Western usually teams up and does a a price reduction for people that are doing the race. And then the 12 Tribes Casino is a sponsor as well. And they're kind of a more bigger sponsor. They've been around since it began. And so the casino's over there. I'm gonna go and visit them and see if they are interested. But I'm on the tourist board here in our county. It's OkanaganCountry.com, and it has, if you go on the website there, it has extensive lists of places to stay, camping, and all that kind of stuff is on there at your fingertips. Let's see what else, but. If I was just coming from Seattle and I was going to come over on Saturday, I want to hang around the river and swim, you know, and camp. I'll have to check on the dates for how late the campground is open there at the park. But there's a certain amount of RV hookups. I don't know how busy they are, but the fairgrounds has there, you know, it's more like, tent camping and stuff there. I think they have RV hookups too for people. Want electricity. Someday I'll have some hookups at my place, but not enough for the whole Seattle, for maybe a small handful of people. But so that's the other thing is it's all about promoting our county too, is that this is a gem. And if you like outdoor stuff, we're your place. I mean, if you do cross-country skiing, there's more cross-country ski trails in the Medaw Valley than anywhere else in the world. And, you know, we have a cute little ski hill that, you know, that people fulfill their winters there. And there's lots of groomed cross-country ski trails, and wintertime sports are big. And then summertime, you know, like, it's a mecca. You can go up to Loop and camp up there by the ski hill. There's a sweet little, like, campground, sandy cans only, but you're in the woods. It smells like pine trees. It's just awesome. And you're out of the bustle.
That does sound awesome.
Yeah, I know. The Loop.
That sounds awesome. I love being out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I always worry. I have bad luck with OMAC. I've driven through OMAC twice, and both times my motorcycle broke down. Like, it just
didn't
want me to
leave. Well, I
don't
know how to fix motorcycles. But you know, like, I live here now, so you could call. I got a truck.
There we go.
Motorcycle up, truck and trailer. Ride the motorcycle. Bring, you know, come in and carpool or something. Make
sure there's carpool. I used to go over there. I had a girlfriend years ago, and her family used to go to Lake Conconelli every year.
Oh yeah,
We go over there, and it was always. Yeah, I always loved Conconelli. So I just remember there was a nice little restaurant that had a train that went all through the whole restaurant. I can't remember what it was called. It's like Mr. Magoo's or something. I don't remember. It was something crazy, but it was awesome.
You got it. So, Magoo's. Friend of mine and her mom.
Magoo's.
Yeah, Magoo's.
loved that place. They had the best burgers. Yep.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, every small town has got to have their diner breakfast spot kind of thing. No, it's good. We have our Okanagan board meetings in the back of that place. So,
nice.
Yeah. Small towns are great. So, in all honesty, Conconelli is like from the Stampede and Eastside Park rodeo grounds there, maybe 18 miles. And then the Loop is probably like 15 miles for like if you want to get out from town. The Loop is dry. Conconelli, of course, has lakes. Here, you've got at Eastside Park, you got the river. Yeah, I've just been going and swimming in place in the river. And the horses are, nice. They're having their elimination for the horse races. So on the weekends, the last Saturday, I was down there hanging out and watching them practice run off the hill. And it's cool because during the rodeo, it's dark, you know. And so Sunday is the only day you can watch it during the daylight. The rest of the time, it's around 10 o'clock at night. And the lights are on, and you like you can kind of see what's going on, but not really. They definitely spotlight who comes in the arena. Sometimes you just get a horse, and you know the rider's walking in behind them, fell off at the bottom of the hill, or whatever. But
it happens.
I've been going down there swimming and dinking around in the river. So it's warm. It's not too cold. It'll be fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be it's a fun race. It sounds awesome. So, I mean, I look forward to it. I'm going to have to, after this episode's air, I'm going to have to see who wants to go and maybe get a whole, you know, beast carpool and just head on over there and do it. So, I know Don will want to do it because I think he has some family in OMAC. So, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So share the, I don't know. Can I post, something on the Beast OCR? Can I post a flyer or
yeah.
No, do you guys have to do that? Anyone can post on there?
No, it probably have to go through me. Or one of the other admins, you know, we could post it on there, but I'll post something on there about it. And then I'll make sure when we post the podcast, I'll put a link to your event and to, you know, your webpage so that people can go there and start signing up. Yeah. The OMAC Warrior Stampede, so people can get signed up and do this.
Yeah, no, that would be awesome. If we could generate some freaking more people, that's great.
That's how
we grow this stuff. We just have to get more people. And, I put up an event, you know, on Facebook. And so I'm locked out of, that was weird. I'm locked out of Instagram right now. So I'm trying to figure out how to get, so that I can start posting on Instagram again. Cause I really like Instagram.
That seems to be the one a lot of people go into. I prefer Instagram a lot more than Facebook. It's a lot less confrontational. So
yeah.
Facebook's gotten very confrontational, and Instagram's just fun pictures, and it's fun. So yeah. So definitely.
Definitely. So I just I'm kind of a computer dinosaur. So. Like you're talking about having bad luck in OMAC, I'm really good at crashing computers.
Oh, yeah.
And I only got on Facebook after the grit. You know, they were like, oh, well, my family wanted to see the building project. But they're like, you need a Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And I'm like, okay, well, I can do the whole Instagram, but I'm not tweeting. I couldn't understand it. I was like, why? Like, that's
yeah.
The worst time. I have other things
Twitter's
to
weird.
Do. I like Instagram is awesome. They're kind of getting a lot of ads on them now too. So where I don't see people's stuff, I just see ads. And it's like, how did I get into that bracket? I actually want to see people doing cool shit, but I have to go and search for them now.
I think
Facebook's a little bit like that too, where they just all of a sudden they just inundate you with stuff and you don't see. Like you want to go in and clear house, like get out of my way. I can't see my friends.
Yep. No, I agree. Oh, so we're getting close to that 1 hour mark, which is kind of where I like to keep these. Well, what would you like to say to the listeners of BeastNet? I mean, how would you convince them that they should be out in OMAC on the 14th to win this race?
Because outdoor adventures grow stronger people. So we're pitting you against Okanagan's rural aspect. And we all believe that we're you know, farm tough because we hay bales and stuff like that. So come on over. Red Rover, send the beasts of OCR on over. Come join
us. You got it.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for talking to me. This has been a blast, and I definitely look forward to heading over to Okanagan in September. So, yeah, thank you for talking to me. This has been a blast, and yeah, thank you.
I'll try and find you in Seattle.
All right. I'll be there.
Okay, and have a really fantastic time in Hawaii.
Oh, I will. Thank you.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the BeastNet podcast. If you haven't done it yet, find us on Facebook. Like and share the podcast. Give us a review on iTunes or Spotify. All these things will help to expand the show in the future. This show is brought to you by James Safety Services in partnership with Beast OCR. Don't forget to subscribe and let us know what you think and what you like to hear. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or at beastocr.com.